One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
One of the compliments that's been paid our ministry in criticism and in even sarcastic journalism with the news media has been, we're Bible toters. Well, I want to add one word to that and then challenge you for 1982. Not only are we Bible toters, but we're Bible quoters. So I'm preaching tonight on Bible toters and Bible quoters. What you cannot quote, you might not be able to tote. I'm not saying you've got to memorize every chapter in the Bible, but I am going to say tonight there is great profit in memorizing the Word of God. I want you to start with me in scripture reading in the book of Deuteronomy. Why, the question tonight, why do we recommend and demand as far as possible that people memorize the Bible by the chapter? The boys from the Lighthouse, many times in their testimonies, and this has been a great week of testimonies, hasn't it? Probably the biggest week of testimonies that we've ever had in the history of our ministry. And it was amazing to me and appalling and disturbing to hear so many little boys talk about the big sin they were in. Hard for me to believe. And yet, when we got a call this week or last week saying it looks like we're beyond the stage of helping our daughter, she's run away twice. And she's 6 years old. Now, to me, that's tragic and sad and pathetic. And then to read last Thursday night about two little children, a little boy, 5, and a little girl, 5, that completely wrecked a whole apartment and left it in shambles. And as the police said, a disaster area. 5 years old apiece. Now, folks, there's got to be something mighty disturbing and destructive in the American family and home in order for little children to learn how to do that at the age of 5. I'm going to hit right in the middle of the answer tonight. Now, there could be but one thing wrong, and that's a lack of parental guidance, discipline, and spiritual demand on the part of the parent. Listen, God fixed little children where they need and will respond to the right kind of leadership. Now then, in the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to see where this thing starts. Verse 4, that's 6 and 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, folks, that'll solve your problem right there. Anytime you fall in love with the Lord and can say that I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might, I believe that you have then gotten your so-called priorities correct. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy door, of thy house, and on thy gates. Now, I wish somebody would ask me what on earth that means, and I'd like to answer real quickly just exactly what it said. You'd say, well, that would brand me as a fanatic. Well, I've noticed where they put politicians' names on signs and stick them in the yard. Yeah. Vote for Carlos Truon or somebody else. They stick them all over the car windows. Does that make you a fanatic? About what? Let me tell you something, folks. Until you're willing to be branded and enjoy the term fanatic, you're not much of a Christian anyhow. I was talking to a lady today, and she said, I'm trying to keep a low profile. Well, that's what the average Christian's doing. Reminds me of that little old boy I heard about. I had a little old cur dog, about so big, and somebody said, son, I wonder what kind that is. He said, that's a German Shepherd. He said, German Shepherd? You mean that little thing's a German? Yep. Said, he's in Secret Service. Yeah. Can a Christian be in Secret Service? Can he be identified as a Christian on the job? When Christmas time comes and the boss says, we're pulling our Christmas party, can a man really be a Christian at that time? He ought to be. He ought to be. Now then, let's skip to chapter 32, same book. Chapter 32, and I believe it's about verse 46. I'm preaching tonight on the Bible toters and the Bible quoters. Verse 46, and he said to them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it's not a vain thing for you, because it's your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Now turn to the main book in the Bible, and the main chapter in the Bible that has to do with the Word of God. Would you be surprised if just about the middle chapter of the Bible and the longest chapter in the Bible has to do with the one great subject of the Word? There's 176 verses, nearly every one of which mentions or has to do with the precepts or with the commandments or with the Word of God. Now, the 119th Psalm is probably the most complete recipe for everybody, young and old, in the entire Bible. And we ought to read it. I think it'd be well to read it at least 12 times a year. Now, in this 119th Psalm, I'd like to begin reading at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Here it is. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, if you were to ask me what I believe the most practical interpretation of that revelation is, I would say, memorizing the Word of God. How else can you hide the Word of God in your heart other than memorize? Before I'm through tonight, I'll give you the best reasons I can for memorizing the Word of God. Now, we've had it understood that everybody in one of our homes and every superintendent and every worker and every leader and every person connected with this work, that you read through the Bible this year. Every year we read through the Bible. That's your assignment. Our leaders, our room captains, our superintendents will be checking up on those of you just to see that you take that sweet trip through the Holy Land. Read. Now then, let's read a little bit further. Turn to Psalm 119, and it'll be verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 30. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now then, go back to verse 59. I think there's a verse that I'd like for you to take home with you. I thought, that'd be a delightful experience. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. When did he do that? He got to thinking about where his ways were taking him. And he turned his feet. He made a 180. He turned to the Lord. Now then, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Bible toters and Bible quoters. Why would we want to spend the time memorizing the Word of God? Why do we make that a very vital part of our entire activity in Christian life around this place? All right? Let me give you the first reason. It's the best experience for the mind that I know of. In a time when people are having tremendous mental difficulties, there was nobody, they might have been somebody that was a little bit slow. Of course, no, there wasn't any slow learners, they didn't call them that. They didn't have any special ed back in the everybody went to the same school together. And there wasn't any hyperactivity among children. I mean, the children didn't have any trouble going to sleep at night. My daddy gave me enough exercise during the day, I'd glad to get to go to bed. I mean, you didn't work for my daddy or with my daddy all day long and then want to go dance that night. I'd dance with him all day in the field. America doesn't have the character she used to have when people dared to be honest and upright and respectful. It's good exercise for the mind. If I were to ask, and I certainly don't mean to be cheap, but if I were to ask, how many of you have had a bath the last 7 days? I imagine that 100% would answer in the affirmative. I could hope so, at least. But you'd say, what are you driving at? Let me ask you, how long has it been since your mind had a bath? It'll be better for you to bathe your mind than to bathe your body. It'd be good for both to be properly bathed and cleansed. But the great need in America is a clean mind, and the only way you'll ever get it is to bathe it in the book. And I'll not dare go back and spend too much time backtracking or visiting the old homestead before bathtubs were ever invented. We were gone before we ever saw a bathtub. Because we had a number three wash tub. There wasn't too much space and room in it, but it served the purpose. And I was always glad if I got to be the first one that took a bath in it. Well, I'm just simply saying, most people never give their mind a bath.
Right.
There's only one tub. There's only one water you can wash your mind. And dear friend, if you haven't had your brain washed, you've got a dirty brain.
Right.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. You know one of the charges God brought against the people over in Noah's day? He said the evil, the imagination was evil, always continuing. You know what's wrong? They had evil minds, dirty minds. They were evil. Back in the days of Lot, what happened? They were evil in their minds. Their minds were dirty. This has been the generation. And now then, they're parading it in pornography, television, and newspapers, and profanity, and all the rest of it. Folks, we need to memorize the Word of God because it'll keep our mind clean. No way. Nobody was born clean. Everybody born unclean. Bible said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all is an unclean thing, and our iniquities have taken us away. And so we need, I believe, a bathed Bible mind if we're going to live the pure and clean life. And then, number two, we ought to memorize the Bible because of the authority of the Bible. It's the only book I know of that's got complete authority. You know why the judge had that padlock and chain? You know why? He did not recognize the authority of the Word of God.
Right.
There were two things, and there's two things that our judges and our lawyers have missed. They have missed the final, complete, inclusive authority of the Word of God and the sacredness of the Constitution of the United States. They've missed it. But you wait till we stand either before the judgment seat of Christ, or some of them stand before the great white throne judgment and find out how to come out. Brother, we ought to memorize the Bible because it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so I'd say, in the second place, we ought to memorize the Bible because it is the Word of God. Number three, we ought to memorize the Word of God because it's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And if we want Him to witness and testify to us, and we want to have Him to come in our heart and say, Holy Spirit, we're so glad to have you, give your testimony. Why, He said, sure. Quote Isaiah 53, 55, Psalm 51, and Hebrews 1, and 1 John 1, and all. Why, when you begin to quote those chapters in the dark of the night, He's given His testimony. You want the Holy Spirit to give His testimony to you, then memorize His testimony, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Bible said, no prophecy of the Scriptures have any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scriptures given by inspiration. You know who's the inspiration? The Holy Spirit. You ought to memorize it, because you'd want to be able to let Him talk to you. In other words, if He can live in your house, why don't you let Him talk to you?
Yeah, all right.
You say, how will He talk? He just talks in the Word of God, that's all. And so let Him give His witness to you. Let Him have fellowship with you. Let Him tell you what the Word of God really means and is all about. And so, next, would you like to have something the world has never known? Memorize the Word of God, and it'll bring peace into your soul. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. The peace that passeth understanding. No more fear. No more misunderstanding. No confusion. Just have the peace of God in your heart. Even though you don't understand all, you don't have to. Then the next reason we ought to memorize the Word of God is because Jesus is the Word of God. And the more the Word of God you have, the more of Jesus you have in your heart and life. Listen, I'd rather have Jesus in my heart than to shake hands with him. I'd rather have Jesus in my heart than to have Jesus in this house. You say, what are you driving at? Dear friends, if Jesus came walking through that door, you know, I might have said this one time before, but I want you to see what I'm talking about. If he were to walk in, you say, what would you do? I'd sure relinquish the pulpit. Gladly. I might kick off these shoes. And I'd sure either kneel down or sit down. And I said, dear Jesus. You say, how would you know him? Holy Spirit, tell me who it was. No problem. No, I wouldn't say, who are you? What are you doing? The Holy Spirit said, there he is. How did John know him? John raised that index finger like a single barrel shotgun and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. Who told him? Holy Spirit. I would have no problem recognizing him. I know that bunch had killed him. They didn't know him. They said to Judas, said, how in the world are we going to know which man to grab when we get out there? Well, he said, I'll kiss him. None of them knew it. Not a one of them. That's how unfair and unreasonable the religious world can become. Twice memorize the Word of God. More the Word of God you have, more of Jesus you have. And the Holy Spirit can give his testimony. And then, I believe I ought to include the more of God. I mean the overall wonderful Heavenly Father you have in your heart. And then we ought to memorize the Word of God because it's our prayer language. How can a man pray except in the Word of God? You show me a man that doesn't know anything about the Word of God, I'll show you a man that can't pray. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, it'll be done for you. And dear friend, you'll never know what to ask for, or you wouldn't know what to do with it if you got it, if you don't know the Word of God. I have no doubt about God ever losing his honor. Because he is honorable and glorious and majestic. Dear friend, I believe that God only waits until due time, and I believe it's due. I'm not only trying, I'm a trusting. You know, one of these days, I want to preach a message on who will not be in heaven. I mean, I know a man. I can give you his name. Ben Tryon, have you ever heard of him? Old Brother Ben Tryon, he'll never be there. I've heard that. Well, I'm trying. You never get to heaven trying. You get there trusting. And so, I want to memorize the Word of God because the more I have of the Word of God, the more of Jesus, the more of God, the more of the Holy Spirit, the more of peace, and the more of everything that's good and right I'll have in my soul. Now then, let me give you two practical reasons. This ought to capture your attention. Suppose these eyes get like that. That's all of it. No more flying, no more driving. No driver's license, no pilot's license. Couldn't even ride my bicycle over this one. Eyes went out. I'm limited. I'll never read the Word of God again in my life. Maybe too late to feel with these fingers and learn how to read the Braille. Let me ask you this. How much of the Word of God would I have that I could preach what I've memorized? And that's it. If you went blind tonight, how much of the Word of God would you enjoy the rest of your life? Oh, I know you say, well, I could get me a Bible recorded and I could hear it on record. I know. But how much could you get up and testify? How limited would I be on my preaching in the morning when I walked and somebody led me through that door and I came up? I could never see another smile. I could never see another expression while I prayed. But the main thing is, how much of the Word of God could I see with both eyes out? You'll not always have the good vision you've got tonight. You'll not always have the good mind you've got tonight. What I remember best is what I committed to memory when I was a child. I've never forgotten. I can quote things just like that. I remember names just like that of the people I knew. I don't remember the names that I just met yesterday. Folks, you better tuck it away while you can. And you better fill it up in your heart while you can. Folks, I'm asking, are you willing to memorize the Word of God? I feel that I've got a new generation of young people here. You ought to hear this testimony at least once a year, and here it is. I was speaking in St. Louis, Gideon International, and there were 1,500 to 2,000 businessmen from England and across and around the world. And it was a tremendous honor for me. I don't know, maybe 35, 36 or 7 years ago, somewhere along there, I was there in St. Louis. I was speaking each night in the big meeting room in that big hotel, and had some unusual experiences. But I'd read the story of a man. I got on the phone late in the evening. I called Kansas City. I asked for Mr. McPherson. When the lady answered the phone, I said, is Mr. McPherson still alive? She said, oh, yes. I said, could I talk with him? She said, if you'll give me time to go lead him to the phone. I waited. I said, I'm preaching tonight to men. But this is the story. When Mr. McPherson came upon some young men setting off a charge of dynamite, they were green at it, and he said, boys, I've had a good deal of experience. I'm a lot older. I'd be glad to take care of this for you if you just kind of back off. What he did not know is that the fuse was already burning. They didn't know it. He started to set it off, but it blew up, and he came to in the hospital. And he was bandaged completely over his face, no vision, no sight, and lay there for many, many days. Finally, he raised that question and said, Dr. Wynn, will you take the bandages off of these eyes? And he said, I knew you'd ask that, but when those bandages come off, you will not see any more than you do with the bandages on. Your eyes are gone. Oh, Mr. McPherson said, I've only been a Christian 1 year. I can never read the Bible again. What a horrible thought. Just a new Christian. He said, my eyes are gone. But somebody came to the hospital and brought the Braille. But his fingers had been so battered and plastic surgery to rebuild, he had no feeling left in his fingers. And they said, we read of a man who with his lips learned to read. And he tried, but the nerves to the lips had been clipped and he had no feeling. Almost in despair, but he said, don't take the Braille Bible away. Mr. McPherson stuck out his tongue and began to lick his way through the Bible. I said, Mr. McPherson, would you tell me something to tell the men? I'm preaching tonight on the importance of the Word of God. He said, yes, you tell them that I am 86 years old. I've been blind since the explosion. I've read the Bible through completely two or three times. I've memorized many lengthy passages of the Word of God with my tongue, and tell them that I'm expecting Jesus to come any minute, and that if they want to know the Word of God, God will fix a way for them to get it. 86 years old. And yet, with your eyes, think of the hours you wasted watching television. Think of the hours you wasted reading the newspaper, magazines. How little time we've spent memorizing the Word of God. Oh, I wish somebody had preached to me like this when God called me to preach. Why did my professors in Baylor University say, memorize poems and read current events? Why didn't they say, memorize the Word of God? Like I'm saying to you young people, you'll never get pure and you'll never remain pure until we learn how to bathe in the book.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.